All right, welcome to the Annabelle set. It's a great privilege to have one of Australia's leading trainers in the den today to talk through some of her charges over the weekend. Welcome to the den.
Yeah, it's pretty cool den, the man cave, but yeah, I've crashed it today.
You're very good. And when you were a kid, did you always dream of having your own TV show named after you? And now you've got it. So
yeah, certainly didn't expect one anyway.
Yeah, very good, very good. So we were out at your stable last Tuesday and we sort of watched you guys put your horses through their paces. Got a big team out there, but we've got a lot of insight and we put that vlog up on YouTube and very well received. And here we are today. The fun part's out of the way. It's now down to business. So we're going to try and make some money, which is a very hard thing to do, but you're here. You're brave enough to come in and try and help punters find a few winners. So,
yep, yeah. Well, hopefully don't get the egg on my face, but there's always a bit of fun, especially this time of year. You know, it's competitive fields, but there's always plenty of horses that we think are going well at odds as well. So yeah, hopefully we can find them for you.
That's one thing for sure. A lot of horses we're going to talk about today are pretty decent odds, which everybody likes. So just quickly, because it is our first show, I'll just quickly throw up a show rundown so people know what's going on. We're going to talk about the week that was. There's a lot to talk about in your stable. You've got some serious horses in there, so we'll have a bit of a chat about, especially some of the elite ones. Have a quick chat about the stable mail, find out what's going on in the stable, horses that are going to miss, what you guys are up to. Then we'll talk about the feature races. We're going to talk about a couple of feature races today. We're going to talk about the Epsom and also the Turnbull. And then we'll finish off with the all-important Annabelle set. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Very good. All right, let's get into the week that was. So the first thing we're going to talk about is Amelia's Jewel. And I said that she was gallant in the Golden Pendant. We can flash the footage of the race up on the screen here. In pre-production, you said you don't really like watching losing races, but what did you make of the run? I mean, she certainly tried her heart out. And
you certainly can't say it was a bad run. I think she's had 58 on her back. The winner in the yellow and the third horse on the inside had 54. Mm. So 4 kilos is, maybe that's the telling point, but it was set weights and penalties and she won the Northerly, just under 2 years ago. So she's treated obviously with that big weight. So level weight, it's probably a different story. But yeah, I probably immediately after the race, I was just disappointed she didn't win. Yeah. But as soon as Tommy came back in, I said, she's looking for the mile already. And he said, you've taken the words out of my mouth. So yeah. Certainly she's getting older as well. I think she probably is looking for that little bit more ground. We know she's obviously broken the track record over a mile at the Valley. The plan's always been to get her out to a mile, but I didn't run her the week before in the Seven Stakes because I just felt it was a pretty tough first up run. So we gave her that extra week and we kept her at the 14. So whether that was the right call or not, I suppose we'll never know. But the main thing is she hit the line. She's come through it really well. Mm-hmm. And she'll be going to the mile now.
And are you going to stick with the plan to go to the King Charles or is there something like the Empire Rose or something where she can stick with her own sex?
Well, she'll go to the Empire Rose, I suspect, but the race to get there is the King Charles. Yep. So, look, I know it's a tough race and she's going to have to elevate to another level. Fangirl and I suppose Pride of Jenny are going to make it a really tough race. But I do get the feeling with her, the higher the pressure of the race, the better she is as well. There wasn't much pressure in that race the other day. The other thing Tommy did say was she's probably never been on a – it came back into a 5, so it was beautiful ground, but she's probably more effective on a rock-hard track. So I suppose I'd just hope in the King Charles we get a really dry, quick track. And I think, it's going to be a fast-run race with Pride of Jenny in there. So hopefully that suits her. It was a fast-run race first up in the tramway and she closed off well. But she's going to need to go to another level again, but – Peter Walsh, who owns her, he's a great owner and loves racing and he's keen to take on those better horses. Mm. It's a $5 million race. So
even running the placings.
Even running in the placings is massive prize money. So and it just is a nice, it's the ideal spacing. She'll be hopefully peaking third up. And then, you've got 2 weeks later, you've got the
Empire Rose.
The Empire Rose. So you've got the 5 diamonds as well, but being a mare, Group One, Flemington, yes, against her own sex. It's going to be pretty tempting to go there, I think.
And what did she do this week after a pretty hard run? Does she have a pretty quiet week?
Yeah, quietish week. She went to the beach a few times, but she's so tough. I mean, her rider, Joel Butler's been telling me all week I should be backing her up into the Epsom. Too late for that now. But yeah, she's thriving. So she'll have a gallop on Saturday. Might even, just because she is thriving, she might even have a little tick over trial at Randwick on Tuesday. Okay. Just because she's, yeah, she's sort of asking for more work, looking at her on the track. So, yeah, looking forward to the King Charles. We're going to need to improve a lot again. But, yeah, big prize money race. My Oberon ran third in it last year and picked up a massive check. So, sure. Great race to be a part of.
And I heard Rob in another podcast say that you guys were kind of surprised when the owner, what was the owner's name again?
Peter Walsh.
Peter Walsh, like, sort of contacted you guys out of the blue and said, I would love to give you Millie's Jewel. Is that kind of how it went down? Is that right?
Yeah, we'd met Peter a few times. And actually, we went to see him when we were in Perth a while ago. It was organised through Peter O'Brien, who runs Sedgenhoe, which is where Walsh's got a lot of his mares. So we'd got to know him a bit, and he'd taken us to one of his wineries and, yeah, hadn't spoken to him for a while, but we did actually buy a horse off him at Magic Millions this year, and the previous year we'd bought in conjunction with Rosemont, we'd bought Amelia's Jules' brother, right, who's Basusto. So we had a little bit of a connection there anyway. But I was actually in Bunnings buying some screws, and I remember where I was when he rang me, and he said, "Oh, I've been thinking about a trainer for Amelia's Jewel, and wondered if you'd train her." So
the glamorous life at, yeah, Bunnings and getting one of the best men in the country.
Exactly. Good. So, yeah, she was a great pickup, and yeah, she, frustrating to not have won with her yet, but she had 2 seconds, and at least she's proved it. It was always a bit of an unknown. She never raced in Sydney other than the one time in the Golden Eagle where it didn't really go to plan with her. So good to see that she's racing well going this way around as well, because you always worry with that when they've done all their racing Melbourne way, yeah, obviously in Perth, and she'd race well in Melbourne. And actually her first gallop that she had here, her rider said, "I'm not convinced she's going to be as good going this way," but the more we did with her, the better she got. So, yeah, she's been a great pickup, and hopefully we can get her into the winner's circle.
Yeah, very good. All right, let's move on to one of your other stable stars. So Sunshine in Paris, and obviously she was super dominant, or not super dominant, but a super win in the Scirocco. You probably enjoy watching this one a bit better, of course. She's in the fairway thoroughbred colours, really coming into it now. So you got the white with a little sort of yellow and black flex, or yellow and green flex, coming into it strongly. Of course, Jolie Star out the back there, you know, couldn't sprint as fast as Sunshine in Paris. So how is she doing?
Yeah, she's thriving. And she's another one that I think the more pressure in a race, the better with her. But she's not a big horse at all. You'd have probably seen that last week.
Yeah, you know, she's up on the screen now.
Yeah, she's not a tall horse at all, but she's got a massive engine, and we just decided she goes well fresh. She won the Scirocco fresh 12 months ago before having a setback and missing the Everest. And then she went very close in the Galaxy first up. Mm. It was a bit of a funny track. Arguably, if Jason goes to the outside rather than the inside, maybe she wins, but she was drawn soft, so it was hard to get off the inside. But you see even then there in the video, she's still a bit hairy, but she's even cleaned up in the coat since then. So probably the exciting thing with her is I was going into the Scirocco this year thinking she's definitely not as forward as 12 months ago. And for whatever reason, I don't know why, she had the same prep going in, but she just wasn't really there in the coat, and I thought the run will bring her on. Mm. We didn't have as much pressure because we already knew we'd have a slot,
yes,
with John Camilleri purchasing a slot. So you know, it was more about just getting her back to the races. So to win was great. I probably expected her to win, but obviously Jolie Star was very, yeah, impressive first up. So, you know, if we'd ran second to her but hit the line, I'd have been happy. So to win was great, and I think we just want to keep her fresh because of that fresh record she's got.
Did she have a hard gallop this week? Like Tuesday morning is normally a hard gallop morning. Did she do that this week?
She didn't have too strong at harder gallop. Tommy's coming in to gallop her Friday morning.
Okay.
And then she'll have a trial on Tuesday. I think
an official trial?
It'll be an official trial on Tuesday.
A lot of people watch that.
Yeah, I think Jolie Star might be trialing as well. I read somewhere. I might even have Lady Laguna in there, maybe Amelia's Jewel. I think they're putting a course proper heat on, because obviously these good horses, the main thing with them is to have them on the best surfaces you can. And the A-grass at the trials, there's a heap of horses. It would be like a plough paddock sometimes, particularly as they're used for the training grass. So hopefully she can get on the course proper Tuesday and it'll be just a tick over trial. We won't need to be out there to sort of do anything too strenuous with her, but more than anything, just putting them on the truck and giving them that stimulation can just really keep them up to the mark.
Sure. And she's one of the main chances in the Everest, a bit of Everest news in the last sort of few days. Even Storm Boy. What do you think about Storm Boy going to the Everest? What would you have done? Or you're not willing to say, would you have freshened him up into the Coolmore, or do you think it's a good player to have a throw at the stumps with him?
Well, I'm happy to have him in anyway, because the more speed in, the better, I'd say. Because probably until this week, Lady of Camelot's obviously now in.
Yeah.
And Storm Boy. But until then, you were wondering who was going to lead.
Yes.
With what
and
was
now
in
you've
there.
Got two waterhouse horses in there that go for it. So.
Exactly. But look, he's... Oh, I suppose I don't think about... You end up just... As a trainer, you tend to just concentrate on your own horses. But I thought Storm Boy was good in the in the Golden Rose. He just doesn't seem to be that quick away. So he seems to end up having to work in the start. His last two runs, he's had to do a fair bit of work to get into that spot early. So he seems pretty brave in the business end, considering. But it's a whole nother level, obviously, the Everest. And, it'd be interesting to see. I think of the three-year-olds... The one I'd be wary of if he goes there would be Glowing Empire.
Growing Empire, yeah.
Growing Empire.
Okay, well, that's a good point. Why don't we have a look at the Manikado? So I got this is the Manikado on Friday night. So that's Growing Empire going to the lead here. How Southport Tokun wins, no one will ever know. But yeah, a lot of leading chances for the Everest were in this race.
How does he win?
I know, it's just incredible.
Even
isn't
here,
it?
How does he win? It's extraordinary.
What did you make of this race, and who worries you the most out of? What happened in that race?
Southport Tycoon, when you keep rewatching that.
Yes.
That's Kieran's sort of masterstroke, isn't it?
Yeah. Your mate, Nathan Bennett, right?
Yeah.
They have Faulkner Park with you, don't
they?
Yeah,
great supporters of us. So, well deserved of them. They do a really good job. They do a lot of homework when they're buying their horses, and they would have bought this horse as a yearling. Funnily enough, there was a flood at the farm that they used during those floods, and they moved their horses to Rob's farm up in Scone.
Right.
And Rob said, "Oh, there's this really nice written tycoon colt. Can we have it?" And they said, "No, that's going to Kieran."
Yeah, right. Him. There you go. Wow.
That was as a yearling. I thought that the colt was very good. I haven't heard where they're going.
Growing Empire?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they've made a decision yet, as far as I can hear. So.
I still think I Wish I Wins. I'm hearing a few things. A few people don't think he's at the level he was, but yeah. Moody's obviously a genius. And, we know he's a good horse. And I think he's one to look at. And I think the first two in the Manikado as well. It's a pretty open year this year. You'd have nearly respect for all of the runners.
Yeah, very good. Why don't we move to our stable male section? So Faulkner Park, you didn't accept... For the Turnbull with him, what's the story there?
Yeah, I wasn't over happy with his work on Tuesday. It's always been a question mark with him, the Melbourne way, because he had one run at Flemington last March and hung in all the way. So we got him down early, and he'd been going really well in his trials and his gallops. There was no laying in. He did run a bit below expectation, probably first up in the Underwood. He galloped on Tuesday, and he just wanted to lay in, which is the first time he's done that in his work. So we straight away got our chiropractor to have a look at him, and he just found he was really sore through one of his pecs and through his back. He is a horse he has the chiropractor every week, as most of our good horses do, and he can sometimes need a bit of adjusting. But he found exactly the same issue with him as what he found after he pulled up from his run back in March. So we've just got to get him right. When you go to these group ones, you cannot run them unless you're 110%. And it wasn't bad work, but it wasn't up to his usual standard. So the jury's still out, I suppose, whether he handles the Melbourne way. But I'm pretty confident we got him pretty right last time. Hopefully we can just iron this out.
Yeah.
It's then just a case of, do you go straight there or do you run him next weekend? But we're just going to get him right first, and then we'll discuss with the ownership group next week. I did look back through Without a Fight's form last year, and he went from the Underwood straight to the Caulfield Cup. Yeah. So fitness levels I won't be concerned about. It's just going to be about getting him him right. He's completely sound. He's bright in himself, but he's just got this minor niggle. And, you know, when you're an elite athlete at the top level, you know, you can't have minor niggles. You've got to be 100%. So hopefully we can get him back on track in the next few days.
Very good. Lady Laguna, one of the other stable stars, which we haven't seen much lately.
Yeah, so our original plan was to go to the Scirocco, and I suppose we were hoping that she might be an Everest contender based off her last preparation, but she spiked to a minor temperature, which is quite common at this time of year with a lot of changing weather. You know, it's hot then cold. So I do find this time of year, you do sometimes get a few minor little viruses going around. She's fine now, but she missed about 10 days of work. So she's galloping with Sunshine in Paris Friday morning. And then we'll decide whether she trials on Tuesday and then may look at maybe the Sydney Stakes on the 19th. If she works well, we use the heart rate monitors on them. If she works well and recovers well and fitness levels look good, you've still got maybe the option of the Nivison next weekend and then the Invitation.
Sure.
That'd probably be the softer two races, because if not, you're probably looking at going to the Sydney Stakes and then maybe the Russell...
Russell
Boarding, which is $3 million 1300 meter race. So either way, there's loads of options for her.
And then there's all Melbourne too, right? Because on her day, she's one of the fastest mares in the country, isn't
she? She's brilliant. Not convinced she's as good in Melbourne as Sydney.
Yeah, right.
But we haven't raced her in Melbourne since she's gone to this whole new height. So hard to really know. And the other race, I suppose, that you could even consider, now we've sort of missed, we're further back than we thought, is even a Winterbottom.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But we're very open with where we go. OTI are great to train for. They're very, you know, they've obviously been in the game a long time. They understand these things happen. So lots of options, and we'll probably get a bit more of an idea in the next 4 or 5 days.
Very good. And before we close out stable mail, we're about to talk about the Turnbull, but I was looking at the Turnbull. I think 6 of the 7 in the top of the market are import horses, overseas horses. And you were mentioning just before we came on air that you're looking at a sale in France to pick up possibly some horses to race in Australia. Is that right?
Yeah, the ARC sale's on this weekend. So we'll be trying to buy a few there. We're just always, obviously a lot of our stables are based on these imports. So something we're always looking at, and you've always got to be, you know, they take quite a while to acclimatise. So you've always got to be trying to look at buying them. And we're probably at the stage now where, you know, you buy them now for 6 or 12 months time, by the time they sort of get here and get acclimatised. But you've only got to look through the metropolitan field, even to some degree the Epsom and as you say, the Turnbull. And it's probably not great for the Australian breeders that, you know, we are importing so many horses. So obviously important, we're still buying Australian bred horses as well, but it's one of those things, if you can't beat them, you've got to join them. So you know, for us, we've got to keep replenishing the stable with these imports, because they're the horses that keep coming to the top in these staying races.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. So we've got the Turnbull now, one of the great races to kick off the spring. We'll move into our feature races. So, 2,000 metre race, and you've got Bois de Jean, obviously won the Doomin Cup, so it's a Group 1 winner. We might watch Bois de Jean galloping on Tuesday morning down in Melbourne. We know who, we don't need to say inside or outside, because we know he's the grey horse. Just going the lead here. What track is this at?
This is at Pakenham, which is where our Melbourne stable is. This is on the course proper. Probably a soft 7, heavy 8 on Tuesday morning. Really heavy dew. Worked well. I was a bit disappointed with his first up run. I didn't. I think at that level, though, you know, we don't. He normally runs well first up. We've probably never gone to a weight for age group one first up. Sure. But in hindsight, I think we rode him a touch close.
Yes.
And he just blew out late.
Okay.
So fitness will improve. Barry has done him no favours in what's quite a strong field.
So why don't we throw the market up and you can tell us what your overall thoughts are. So there you go. Obviously, Buckaroo and V Sistina right up the top. They deserve to be favourites. And Elias comes down from Sydney. He's been incredible up in Sydney, his wins. We've got Bois de Jean all the way down there, $61. So, yeah, you know you're up against it. But
yeah, I think with him, look, can he win? Probably, you know, be a surprise in that field. Off his first up run, but it's more about just trying to get him back on track. So, you know, I just have to, I haven't quite finalised how we ride him from there, because he normally is a horse that goes forward anyway. He doesn't have a huge turn of foot, so he usually wins his races by, obviously, the Doomben Cup, he was forward. But that being said, it's always hot. You've got to then have them pretty ready to go early in the prep to be ridden that forward. There is a bit of speed inside, but a bit of the speed's drawn out wide. I suppose Elias You got from 16, Duke de Sassa usually, I think, goes forward. So I'll have a good look at how we ride him. But the main thing for me, it'll be to just actually try and ride him to be finishing off, because he didn't really finish off. And then we work out where we go to after that.
Yeah, so let's just get through this Saturday. And of the other horses in the race outside of your own, what can you form a case for any of them there as a betting proposition?
Oh, well, obviously, I mean, Buckaroo's favourite. He's really turned himself around. He was high-class horse coming here and didn't do a whole lot as a colt, but now they've gelded him. He looks very good. I think Via Sestina was disappointing last time, had wet ground form, but it doesn't always translate here, and I've learned that with the imports. You can look at their wet ground form overseas and it doesn't necessarily mean, like I was told, for example, that my Oberon hated the wet. Well, he nearly won a Doncaster on a heavy 10 and that was bottomless that day. So you sort of have to start fresh with them, and maybe she, I think I heard Chris Waller in an interview, maybe they put it down to the ground. So she's probably on her form. She's the best horse in the race.
And she's getting at a pretty decent price, isn't she? Yeah.
And I thought Warmonger was fantastic first up, and he's obviously being prepped towards a Caulfield Cup, but I'd say at that price, he'd probably nearly have my money.
Yeah, okay, fantastic. Let's move to the Epsom. So you've got a pretty strong hand here. We've talked about My Oberon a bit. We're going to watch a gallop of him. So we've got My Oberon galloping Tuesday morning on the inside, is that right, with Ostraka outside?
Yep. He's ticking over really well, this horse. He was fantastic, obviously running second behind Fangirl in the Seven Stakes. He's been a really good prize money earner for the owners this horse. He's only had one win in Australia, but he's won over $2 million for them in prize money. So barrier,
let's bring the Epsom market up now so we can see. That's the big doozies, and at the moment got barrier 21.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about that?
No favours with the barrier at all. But already had a message from Nash's manager saying, no, Nash says, no, don't worry, I've got it sorted.
Yeah, I heard him on TV yesterday saying, no, we'll be right, we'll work it out. So
yeah,
he's pretty fired up.
He's the man for the job in these scenarios.
Yeah.
And yeah, like he's going to need plenty of luck. But if he gets the luck, you know, I suppose you've got Royal Patronage is the favourite. He's only got half a kilo less than us. We did beat him last start, albeit, you know, Royal Patronage missed the kick. But the good thing with My Oberon is we've had a bit of rain around, and he probably run better with Giv in the track. And he looks great. So he ran in this race last year. I think he ran seventh, and then he ran third in the King Charles. And there's a bonus up for grabs that they put on on a point scheme. And I think he picked up an extra $450,000.
Wow.
So I'd often look at that and go, oh, do we want to run from that gate? But with this bonus on offer for horses that run in both, you sort of got to. And I think Nash just gives me a bit of confidence, because he can just pull a really good one out of the...
So we just leave the riding completely up to Nash, let him decide if he wants to go forward or back?
I don't think he would listen to me anyway if I had a plan. Yeah, but when you draw like that, you just got to leave it up. Nash has been around longer than me. You just leave it up to him.
Sure. And Galleron's in the race as well, and you actually form a pretty strong case for Galleron. It's going to be one of your official Annabelle set tips.
Yeah,
at a great price.
Yeah, well, I think just because of the price, he's probably trimmed up a bit now. But soft draw, and he's another horse. Yeah, he's a bit of a non-winner. So I'd definitely be saying each way. But it's more just when we've looked up, when we've analysed his sectionals, he's been running home in good time. He's a high-class horse, sort of on his day. He ran fourth in an Irish Guineas, fifth in an English Guineas, and they're against the best three-year-olds in Europe, and that was 18 months ago. He's been running consistently since coming up from Melbourne to Sydney. The only query is, you know, his will to win, I suppose. J-Mac was disappointed with him two starts ago, because when you watched the replay, he just had so much horse.
Sure.
And got the gap, and he just looks like he's just holding back a bit. But his sectionals were very good. And he finished just behind Major Beale that day, and there's a massive difference between them and the market, and there probably shouldn't be. We've got a nice draw. I think Alicia rides really well, 50 kilos.
Yeah.
He's just a horse I could just see if he can lob into a spot in the first half of the field. He's just the sort of horse I think could be running a lot better than his odds suggest.
Fantastic. All right, why don't we move into the official Annabelle set? You got your piece of paper there, and you can just want to read out what else you've got over the weekend. So we're going to stick at Randwick. All your tips for the weekend are going to be at Randwick on Saturday, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. Well, obviously, Rich, we've had gala on. But the next horse I like is a two-year-old filly in the Gym Crack.
This is exciting.
Race three called Tupacara.
And she's I've got the footage of it. So why don't we'll just throw the footage up of Tupacara galloping on Tuesday. Which one is she?
She's closest to the camera.
Closest to the camera. Sorry, away you go.
And James, her rider, has a cheeky look over his shoulder on the post, I think, just here. But she's a really nice filly, and I thought she trialled well. They went quick, and she was run off her feet early. But she was one of the only fillies, I thought, that really was strong through the line, and she was doing her best work beyond the line. And often in this Gym Crack, they go really quick. Mm-hmm. So she's going to need one to come out to get in the field, but she's a great each-way player. I think she's a really nice filly.
And you think it's a pretty big field. You think one of them's not going to line up on the day, so you should get a run.
You'd hope so.
Yeah. All right, what's next?
Next is a horse in race four in the Dulcify. It's Depth of Character. I'd be really confident if we'd drawn a gate. Mm-hmm. Confidence levels, now we're just relying on the race shape because he's often slow away and there's not much pressure in this race. So the slight query is, are we going to be back on a slow tempo? Mm-hmm. But hopefully, be given the option to, if he jumps, we'll give Tom Sherry the option to roll, in a more prominent position. Mm-hmm. But he looks like he's jumping from 9 of 9 at the moment. But I think he's got class on his side. He's got a good turn of foot. He's still a bit big in the Caulfield Guineas Prelude, but ran home in quite good sectionals on a day where it was hard to make up ground. His gallop was very good on Tuesday down at Pakenham. So he'll travel up Thursday night, gets here Friday. And I think he's one of our better chances on the day, so long as the race shape works out for him.
Sure. And we're going to go to race 10 where you've got a couple of really strong chances and you really like the race as a betting prospect.
Yeah, two horses here I'm giving a push for. The favourite is Ostraka. He was very good first up at Rose Hill. We drew wide, left it up to Jason how to ride him, and he sort of blended in towards the rear of the field, which is, we haven't really ridden him like that before. Mm-hmm. Had to come wide around the corner and he had a really explosive turn of foot. Different story here, we've drawn two and he does jump. Yeah, he jumped well the other day, just got eased back, but jumped well. So he'll jump well again here. He'll put himself up on speed. And I just think he's a really quality horse that I think shaping into a, proper group type Absolutely. Horse in the yeah. making. So we need to see him do it again. Yeah. But if he can run well here, then look out for him in something like the Silver Eagle. Mm-hmm. And the other horse, another horse I've got a real soft spot for is Port Lockroy. And he's finally drawn a gate, but he's an emergency. But I'd be surprised if he doesn't get a run because it's a big field. But he had the worst barriers last preparation, just wide gate after wide gate. So we scratched him quite a few times. Then we were just forced to run mm-hmm. a few times and definitely was unlucky on numerous occasions. And I think I just think he's a really genuine horse and he's drawn inside. So I think he's drawn two and Ostraka had drawn one or the other way around. But either way, he's got a low draw. Going to be better over further. Mm-hmm. And he's only coming here off one trial, but he galloped with Buenos Noches at the races last Wednesday at Warwick Farm and he looked really good. So we thought we'd come here fresh, try him over 12. He'll be hitting the line strongly late and he's definitely a nice each way play.
Fantastic. All right. Well, that's our first the Annabelle set out of the way. A lot of fun, a lot of great insights. So week one out of the way and we'll just keep rolling through the spring. How does that sound?
Sounds good to me. It's nice to get out of Warwick Farm for the for
into the
day.
Big smoke.
Yeah, exactly.
Very good. And you're off for lunch now, right? Down off Bondi or something, off for lunch in Bondi. That'll
off
be nice.
For lunch, with a few punters.
Life's good.
Life's pretty good at the moment.
Very good. All right. Well, thank you very much, Annabelle. Thank you for watching, and we will see you next week for the Annabelle set. Let's go. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.